they work and not challenge each other.
We want a fight for the
world. Let's go.
He played the main, baby.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our Xfinity Studio. Dave Spadaro with you. After our first weekend of no football, I include the Pro Bowl in that whole thing, but no football over the weekend. I went to the U.S. Curling Nationals in Aston, Pennsylvania. I recommend anybody who loves curling as much as I do to go. It was something anyway. It's been slow, quiet, painful. Ready for some action. Got a great show for you today here on Eagles Live. Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network. We do a little two-way thing. He's out in L.A. I'm going to get him while I'm here in Philadelphia. Bo Wolf tracking down Jamar Chaney, who had the neck surgery. Find out how he's coming along with his rehab. And then something to discuss, a report in Philadelphia today. Jeff McClain, the Philadelphia Inquirer, reporting, citing NFL sources that the Eagles are going to franchise DeSean Jackson. Now, that could happen. No question about it, but it is a premature kind of thing, kind of report. I get it, but kind of throwing a dart out there. I do think the Eagles are trying to retain DeSean Jackson. I do think they would like to keep him here in 2012 and beyond. And it's risky on both sides. I mean, if you want to look elsewhere for a wide receiver, you have to take into account the fact that historically, free agent wide receivers don't make a big impact. You know, we know what DeSean Jackson can do. We know the abilities that he has. But if you do use a franchise tag on him, you are committing $9.5 million of your salary cap to him. And he's also playing on a one-year deal again. So what's the mental approach there from DeSean? He wants a long-term deal. Players want long-term deals. And you say to yourself, $9 million, I'd take that for 1 year. Be happy as a clam. That's not how it works here. These guys want some long-term security. So we are going to talk about it. We urge you to call 215-339-6709. We invite fans from around the world, and we're literally going to begin the show by going to the other side of the world, all the way to Australia. Talk to our buddy Anthony, who's calling in from down under. Anthony.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good.
Good. What time is it there in Aussie land?
Almost 3:10 in the morning.
Oh, and you're up watching Eagles Live? Are you a madman?
I love the Eagles. What can I say?
Are you sober, Anthony, at the moment?
Yes.
Okay.
I've got a disability, so.
Oh, okay. So. Okay. All right, so let's talk Eagles, Anthony. What do you want to do with DeSean Jackson?
Keep him and get Plexio Burress.
Both.
Yep, both.
Well, I get the idea. I'm with you on that one, Anthony. I like the idea of bringing Plexico Burress in here as a big receiver, a big target in the red zone. But the question is, can you afford if you bring in Plaxico? I don't know, what would he cost? And DeSean, boy, that's a lot of money for wide receivers.
Yeah, but you've got to think of the long term. Like, DeSean's young, and he needs a bit of guidance. And Plaxico having that experience, even though he has been out of the game for a couple of years, it might actually help him. And he'll also have like the guidance of having him as well. So.
Well, that's interesting. So what would you do if? Plaxico really behaved himself very well. Anthony, thank you so much for the phone call. Have a great day, mate. Plaxico really behaved himself very well in New York last year. And I never thought he was a bad guy. He never got in trouble. Got obviously with the gun incident a couple of years ago, spent his time in jail. Would he be a positive role model for DeSean Jackson? You know, yeah, sure. I think Plaxico's Plaxico's story is one that every player can benefit from. You can get this whole thing taken away from you very, very quickly. And I think every player needs to recognize that. Well, we'll find out. The first day to put a franchise tag on a player is next Monday. Now, the Eagles' offices are actually closed next Monday, so I don't know. Will they do it Monday? Will they wait a little while here? Is there an urgency? Will they continue to try to sign DeSean Jackson to a long-term deal? Will they go elsewhere and make a deal and try to get... I mean, here's the other thing, people. There's 10 or 12. We get this list of wide receivers up. And this doesn't even include the likes of, you know, Terrell Owens. But wide receivers who are going to potentially hit the free agent market. It is a long list, a deep list, a very talented list. As I see it, it's a buyer's market. If you are looking for a wide receiver in free agency, you are going to look. And look at these names here. Wes Welker, Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, Reggie Wayne. I mean, come on. Mario Manningham all of a sudden is a hot commodity. And there's some very good players there. Rich in Wilmington. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Dave. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
Okay. Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do here? You're looking at this list of wide receivers from our good buddy Adam Kaplan.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now. Honestly, with DeSean Jackson, I know we're probably going to end up franchising him, but I would like to see him go. I'm a huge Eagles fan, but you can't. I put it like this. We were one game away from the playoffs. If we would have won any game that we lost, we easily been in the playoffs. We were 5-1 in the division. We could have won that game in Atlanta, San Fran, or the game in Arizona where he sat out for a suspension.
Yeah, that was here
in games like that. You can't lose games like that when your best player, one of your best offensive weapons, isn't on the field. It hurts. I like to see him leave. I want to go after Dwayne Bowe. I think this draft is going to be big for us. I think we really need to make a statement in this draft. We need to get Asante Samuel taken care of. If he restructures, then he can stay. If not, he has to go too. I think Andy is really on the chopping block right now. He needs to make moves so we go in the championship or get to the Super Bowl again.
Rich, I think the point here is that, you know, you bring up Asante Samuel, who Friday said he wants to stay in Philly, and that's cool. I think the point is Eagles have a lot of decisions to make, and they got to make some good ones here because we all know the urgency here. You can't have another 8-8 season. You can't have you got to come out and win right out of the gates. And so it's DeSean Jackson. It's Asante Samuel. It's do you sign Evan Mathis? It's are there other players who've got contract issues? It's LeSean McCoy and his contract.
Right. You got to pay Shady.
You know, it's figuring out how you can create some salary cap space if you want to go sign one or two players in free agency. You've got three picks among the first 51 in April's draft. I mean, there's a lot of questions here, and the Eagles have to be good with their decision-making.
Exactly. I think the Eagles aren't really a team to try to move up in the draft. I don't think we'll package any of our later picks to try to move up or package our two second round.
Well, what would you move up to get? I mean, I'm not even sure what you'd move up to get.
It really depends on what you do with DeSean. If you trade DeSean for the franchise, if you could get a first round pick or a second round pick out of him, then you have three second round picks, maybe package two for a first. But honestly, I think we need a linebacker in the first round. No matter what we do, I would like to see if we can land Hightower or Vontaze Burfict out of Arizona State.
Well, that kid Vontaze, on Twitter, by the way, I am now on Twitter. We urge you, please, sign up to follow Dave Spadaro on Twitter, at Dave Spadaro on Twitter. But I have gotten so many Eagles fans. I think Eagles fans like Vontaze. What's his last name? Burfict?
Burfict.
Burfict. I think people like Burfict more than they like Luke Kuechly from Boston College. Kuechly.
I think that's true.
I can't tell you anything about either one of them. I haven't seen any. I don't profess to be a draft expert. I'm not going to be like all those people in the media who are going to give you these bogus opinions of players. I don't know anything about them.
I think the reason why everybody likes Vontaze is he kind of has – they say he has a little on-the-field issue with his anger control and control on the field, but I think that's what we need. We need somebody that has that anger streak in him, somebody that plays with that type of passion. I think one of the worst things we did was get rid of Dawkins. Even though Dawkins is getting up there at age, and I always say Philadelphia is good to get rid of players at the right time when they're on their downside regressing and the age, certain age level they get. I think we're good at that, but I think Dawkins would have been the player in the secondary that still had that passion and that fire to play. We didn't have a defensive leader last year, so I think we need somebody that just plays all out every play. I think we need help at safety still. I would like to see Mark Barron or LaRon Landry come to the team. I think we just need help. I think we need a lot of help, and we need to make solid pickups and solid acquisitions.
You know, I got to tell you, hey, Rich, thanks for the call. I don't know what the Eagles' plan is going to be in free agency as we look at Perfect here. I don't think the Eagles can do a deal with Jackson, franchise tag, keep Evan Mathis. Who else do you want to keep from that list? You know, I don't think the Eagles, I do not believe the Eagles are going to be players in free agency. Maybe one or two lower level deals, but you're not going to, unless there's a way to free up cap space, significant cap space, I don't see this team making a five-year, $50 million deal with anybody. I'm just going to tell you, temper down your expectations for free agency. I just don't see how the Eagles can take care of their own and still bring in 3 and 4 players. I don't see how they can fit it in. Zompster, the Zomper, Zompery, and no, in New York joins us. Hey, Zompy.
Padero, what's up, baby?
How are you, man?
I just broke out of my depression maybe Saturday night.
I understand. You're in Giants
it's bad
country.
Bad over here, man. I've been brutally punished for about maybe the last week and a half.
That's why I say don't talk smack. Just don't talk smack. Until we win a Super Bowl here, all right?
I can't talk smack at all. All right. They all say, oh, we got four. What do you got? And I said, you know what? I take the most recent one any day of the week.
Take any one of them.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
But let's talk Eagles football, baby.
Yes, sir.
First off, I would like to say, you know, I think the number one priority, to be honest with you and me, is, you know, we did a lot last year, and I just think signing our own free agents, you know, you have a poll up always, and I say we got to re-sign our own free agents. I think Evan Mathis is a big priority. You know, all the guys that we want to keep.
Well, let's take a look at that list of Eagles, of this list that we're going to get up here in a second. Who would you like to keep out of that list?
Well, Victor Abdemir, you know, I mean, I really didn't see what he could do. I mean, he's always hurt.
Yep.
Ronnie Brown, he can go. Antonio Dixon, love him. I think he's a great run stopper. I want to keep him.
Okay, now to keep him, wait, hang on, financial ramifications. Keeping him, you've got to tender him at a level, maybe a second or third round level. So that's another, whatever that is, what, $500,000, $700,000, $700,000 added to his salary, whatever that is. So that's a fairly insignificant number by itself. But when a team only has about $11 million in cap room, just consider that. Don't forget. Okay, keep going. King Dunlap?
Yeah, I'm just going to say who I like because I don't understand all this money situation. I don't know the cap and all this stuff. I'm just saying what I would like if it was for me, if I could do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
King Dunlap, to me, he could go. DeSean Jackson.
And who's your backup? Okay, well, if King Dunlap goes, who's your backup swing tackle?
We got to get one.
Okay.
I mean, King Dunlap, to me, I think I want to say he's a solid player. I'm not a big fan of King Dunlap. You know what I mean? I've seen him play. There's times where he could say, like, you know, he could step in as a backup.
He did a very nice job stepping in. Very nice.
I agree. But, I mean, my point is, if he walks, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson, how can I not say I love this guy, man? It's been bothering me for a long time now. That's what I wanted to ask you for weeks now. If DeSean Jackson, which probably is going to happen, he's going to be franchised, because I don't understand. He's going to be franchised. In your opinion, I got two questions. First question, in your opinion, he gets franchised, is he going to play, or do you think the Eagles are going to trade him?
He'll play.
Okay, so he'll play.
The Eagles would like to retain DeSean Jackson. You've heard Jeffrey Lurie say that. If you think, and if the Eagles think, and this is my opinion, that you can franchise him and then trade him, when you, again, can think about what's out there, Dwayne Bowe and Reggie Wayne and Stevie Johnson and Marcus Colson and on and on and on and on and on. Any team that wants wide receivers, there's plenty of them. So I don't think the Eagles would. I don't think the Eagles. I don't. Is my opinion because believe me, they're not telling me what they're going to do. But so my educated opinion is this: they sign if they franchise tag DeSean Jackson, it is to make certain that he plays for this football team in 2012.
No, I agree. Okay. And the second question, the second question I wanted to know was, I really thought you were going to say we were going to trade him.
No.
Being that, let's just say we franchise him and we trade him. Let's just say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If we franchise him and trade him, do we have the money? Because I don't know anything about cap stuff. Do we have the money to go get a Vincent Jackson?
No.
See, we don't. So you see, that's why I'm like puzzled, because everybody's saying about Plaxico. Listen to me. I would love the move. I hate the guy. I hated the guy for years. He was an Eagle killer. I love the guy. Big red zone threat, absolutely. But to me, you can't have, in my opinion, this is my opinion, Plaxico, Barrett, and Macklin, 1 and 2. That, I think he's a
I don't
great
think
compliment.
That's the intention. I don't think that's the intention.
Yeah, I think he's a compliment to Jackson and Macklin.
That's what I think
he would
be.
I don't think he could be a starter.
Well, that's what I think he would be. If that would happen.
A lot of people are misunderstanding that, if we get rid of Jackson, I'll definitely like to have Plaxico.
If Jackson becomes an unrestricted free agent, the Eagles need to replace DeSean Jackson with a go-to wide receiver. Now, I don't know what Vincent – again, I don't know what the market's going to be for wide receivers. To me, it's going to happen like what's happening with running backs. I mean, again, there are six guys here, right, who are stud wide receivers. Welker.
Welker's not going to go nowhere.
Okay, Jackson. Yeah, Jackson might. Bo, Wayne, Stevie Johnson, Mike Wallace is restricted. Brandon Lloyd, heck of a player. Heck of a player.
So who, if we, I know you already said DeSean's going to be kept. But what I'm saying is, if DeSean Jackson, let's just say we find an offer or something, we trade him, who would you want out of that list?
Vincent Jackson.
Yeah, I agree. But then you say we don't have the money, so then it's like, we're screwed. Who are we going to have then?
So
that's what I'm puzzled about. If we trade you, I know.
I guess, I just, you know, maybe let me revisit that answer. If DeSean Jackson is not here, the Eagles could create room to sign Vincent Jackson if they wanted to. Understanding, though, that you got 2 years left on Macklin's contract. You got LeSean McCoy's contract he's outperformed. I think we'd agree with that. You know, there's a lot of questions here about contracts. A lot of questions within it, with a cap that doesn't go up dramatically from last year to this year.
Yeah,
I think the players are going to feel a pinch in free agency. I don't think it's going to be this frenzy that we've been used to in the past. I didn't think there was a frenzy last year. I don't think a lot of players found big money last year. Thanks for the call, Zomster.
All right, man.
It's just a really critical offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to take a little break now. When we return, I'm going to try to get a hold of Brian Baldinger, NFL Network, and get a national perspective on what the Eagles can do to be contenders in 2012. Eagles Live marches on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Opportunity, opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The chairman emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Well, we welcome you into our Xfinity studio. Dave Spadaro, now joined by NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. Brian, we've talked so much over the years here, and I personally am just recovering from a missed opportunity in 2011. I took it very hard. Am I right to have taken that season hard?
Yeah. I mean, look, Dave, you've been there for the entire Andy Reid ride, and before that, I mean, this season had so much promise, you know, coming into it, and so much buzz and so much buildup and expectations. And, you know, week by week, you just saw it kind of dribble away. And then by the time they sort of, you know, got their sea legs underneath them, it was too late. You know, they were one win short, you know, of getting into that postseason tournament where you saw just the most unexpected that could happen.
Yeah, I'm now going to transition to 2012 with great optimism. Baldy, I think I'm right to be optimistic. Do you agree with me?
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got a lot of pieces. I mean, I'm one of the few, I think, maybe, that personally I'm happy that Juan is retained, that he's back in the same spot. I think he deserves a second year and an offseason here to try and improve this defense, to develop some of these young guys, to get some of the, you know, some of the weaknesses out of it and play to their strengths. They figured a lot of that out as the season went on. But I think that's one side of the ball. The other side of the ball, let's face it, Mike Vick didn't develop the way I think a lot of people wanted him to, the way that he wanted to. He needs an offseason of really, you know, day-to-day work, development, coaching, you know, to really put this offense on track. We saw, you know, look, the highlight of the year was what LeSean McCoy did, but that could be a piece of it. Everything else around him has to get better, and I don't see why this team can't improve this year.
All right, let's start with Vic. Can you teach an NFL veteran, for lack of a better term, new tricks? Can you teach him to be more cognizant of turnovers? Can you teach him to avoid contact? Can you teach him to move around the pocket and create those passing lanes?
Well, the Super Bowl MVP did, Dave. I mean, Eli Manning led the league in turnovers last year with 31. He cut him in half this year. It took his team, you know, on the road in the postseason, and look what he did. So I saw Eli improve tremendously during the course of this season. Ball secure, all the things you just mentioned, movement in the pocket, ball security, really understanding the whole offense, where's your safety valve, when to take the deep shots, touch, accuracy, control. All, I mean, he did all those things this year. So if he could do it, why can't Mike do it? We've seen flashes of Mike. We've seen stretches for Mike. We need to see it for a whole season. And I think that's really the task at hand right now.
As you look at the offense, Brian, is it all about Vic on offense? In other words, if he does all of those things we just talked about, is this offense good to go?
Well, here's what's happened, Dave, is Howard Mudd comes in, he installs this new system with new terminology, new blocking schemes, new language. They put an awful lot on the quarterback to be able to get out of bad plays, get into good plays, change protections. It's hard to do if you're just learning it the first day of training camp. But they definitely got better at it as the season goes on, and I thought the offensive line was the strength of this whole football team the last quarter of the season. In fact, I thought they were amongst the best in the league. And so I don't think it's all about Mike. I think it's everybody understanding all of this, all of what it can be. And then everybody understanding what they're going to do play to play to play to play to their strength. So the quarterback directs it. Mike has to get better at it. But I think the pieces are in place, certainly offensively, to make a great run.
All right, so instead of asking you, what do you think the Eagles will do with DeSean Jackson, I want to ask you, if you were making the call, what best serves this team for 2012 and beyond regarding number 10?
Well, if you franchise him and you pay him that freight, you basically got him on a one-year tender, all right? And maybe, you know, maybe that's enough of a motivation for him to go out there. The 1 year this year wasn't, and what he was playing for wasn't because he didn't play well, and he didn't play to his standards. But maybe the franchise tag will make him do that. But, I mean, if Vincent Jackson is out there, and you're going to invest $8 million in DeSean and may lose him for nothing, why not put the $8 million in Vincent Jackson's kitty and go get a guy that you can get here for the next 5 years, and he could be your true number one receiver. He could be your deep threat. He could be your red zone threat. I mean, he could be your featured guy. Who's, I think, a better target for Mike Vick, considering his size and what he has to see through every time he drops back to throw the football.
All right, Baldy, shifting over to the defense, you talked about Juan and his development. From an X's and O's standpoint, what did you see in terms of his growth by the end of the season in calling the game and in creating a defensive scheme?
Well, I think, you know, look, they played with the wide nines. They shrunk them at times when they had to. They widened it, you know, when they had to. They adjusted the linebacking core throughout the season to try to get the best people on the field. They realized that Nnamdi is strictly a press corner, and that's when he's at his best. At times, they did move him on tight ends against Gonzalez, against Witten, and that proved very effective. When the safeties got healthy, they played better. They tackled better than what they had. So, you know, I think attrition, finding out the strengths of certain players, I mean, it certainly looked like, you know, certain linebackers play better in certain positions. It looked like Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, when he's just out there at left corner, and that's his position, he can play it pretty well, and he competes pretty good. And so I think it starts with the two corners, playing to their strengths, press man, putting those guys up there, letting them bump those receivers off the line, really challenging the receivers. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing that they learned. This is their strengths. Let them play them at those strengths. And so that, and I think, you know, they saw what the pass rush can do, you know, when you allow those guys to continue to tee off on quarterbacks.
Should the Eagles concentrate all their personnel efforts defensively at the linebacker spots and at safety, and then, assuming you make good decisions and bring in talent, good to go on that side of the ball?
Well, yes and no, Dave, because I like what they're trying to do defensively. To me, you have to be more than a team up front that rushes the passer. Now, I know they're trained to play the run on the way to the quarterback and all that, but I'd still like, at times, it's great if you're going up against a team that wants to pound the football. San Francisco, for example. If you had more beef in the middle, if you had a bigger, more dominant defensive tackle in the middle than what they have. I mean, look, Mike Patterson, they play hard. I'm not taking anything away from those guys. But it's nice to have a guy that's 340 that can just clog things up front when you're playing a team like that. I think you got to build in flexibility to everything you're trying to do on both sides of the ball. So while I would say concentrate on linebacker and safety, I wouldn't rule out, you know, defensive tackle as well.
Brian, a final thing for me. How far do you think this team is away from the top of the NFC East, the New York Giants, and really legitimate Super Bowl contention?
Well, look, if they want to put 11 guys out there on defense, Dave, that want to tackle, that want to participate, that want to play with attitude, then they could compete. Now, they didn't do that last year, and it cost them. And so it's about toughness. It's still about toughness. It's about tackling. It's about the basics. And so get those people on the field that aren't going to drop their head, that aren't going to run from contact, that want to be involved. That's where this game is at right now. You saw that from the Giants. They tackled well. They played three safeties. And all safeties, you know, they had a role for all those three guys, and they played well. So they have to get tougher. They got to tackle better. And if they can do those things, then I think they can compete from day one.
Well, we shall see. Brian Baldinger, go run with the bulls or do a parachute jump, swim in ocean.
I'll check in with you, Dave.
Do
I'll
something fun.
I'll send you a postcard.
You got it. Brian Baldinger, NFL Network. Thanks for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
What makes Acme fruits and vegetables taste so delicious? Make your meals come alive with the tastiest fresh fruits and vegetables you always get at every Acme.
Zeva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, please visit the Community Relations page on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're enjoying a great 2011 season together. Zeva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Eagle season is in full swing. Now it's your turn to get in the game. Become part of the team with an Eagles Extra Points MasterCard. Gain behind-the-scenes access, redeem points for sideline passes, preferred parking for a season, tours at the Eagles practice facility, and the chance to host a flag football game in the practice bubble. Plus, you'll get 10,000 bonus points after your first purchase. That's enough points to redeem for an official Eagles jersey. Get closer to the game. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/extra points to apply for the Eagles Extra Points MasterCard today.
Pa, what shall we do with this bounty of ice cream from our Lancaster County Dairy?
Share with the neighbors.
I did, but you keep making more.
We use only the finest wholesome ingredients. It's too good not to share.
Let's take it to the market.
What shall we call our ice cream?
Gobble, gobble.
And that's how Turkey Hill Dairy came to be. Imported from Lancaster County.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2011 and look forward to an even better 2012. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
We welcome you back into the studio, Dave Spadaro, here at the NovaCare Complex. It's kind of slow here. Coaches are on vacation. Howie and the personnel group, they're working on free agency plans. They're working on the draft, strategizing. And next Monday, teams can start to use the franchise tag if they so desire. Already a report out there that the Eagles will use theirs on DeSean Jackson. That is a premature report. I don't think that there's a... it could happen. I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but I just don't think it's really been finalized at this point. 215-339-6709. Justin in, Jay in Harrisburg joins us. Hey, Jay.
How you doing, Dave?
Great. How are you? Welcome.
I just want to say that for next year,
yeah,
I think that we can be really dangerous. And I think that we have the best cornerback position in the NFL. Asamoah, Rogers, Kamari, his speed. If Asante still goes or stays, I don't think it matters for us. I think that we can compete. I think we have the Dallas Cowboys number. I think the Giants got lucky, and they went in instead of us. I just honestly think we can make it happen next year. And I have a question for you, Dave. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think Plexico Burris is really – I heard he made a statement saying he wants to come to Philly. Do you think there's a chance that can happen?
Yeah, I don't think personally that Plaxico is going to be a huge price tag. I think he's been very public in his interest in coming to Philly. I think he would help in the red zone. I mean, we've been talking about big targets in the red zone.
Exactly.
But, again, if you franchise I just don't know where all the cap money is coming from.
Yeah, I think it'll be a perfect fit. I'm a big Plexco fan, 6'5" with Michael Vick. I think if Michael Vick stays healthy, we're gonna get a ring next year, absolutely.
You know, it's to me, look, they have to, here's where I see the weaknesses on this team. Offensively, it's pretty darn good. I mean, you got to cut down the turnovers, no question. You've got to keep number 7 healthy, and you've got to be better in the red zone. The run-pass ratio, all that stuff, I'm fine with all that. I think they've got a terrific. The defense, got to be better in the middle, and that includes safeties and linebackers. And you've got to be better in the red zone and get a little bit of luck. Now, just by signing Plexico Burress and keeping DeSean Jackson, I don't think that helps your defense a ton other than you maintain the football, you put more points on the board, you make other offenses, you know, more one-dimensional. I'm very interested to see what they do in this offseason. I recognize they've got a lot of work to do. It may not be as spectacular an offseason. I certainly don't think it'll be anything close to last year's offseason once it finally got going. But the Eagles have to hit hard on all these decisions that they're going to make. They have to hit it hard, and they have to be right.
I think we get it right.
Yeah? Hello? I think I just lost him. Well, it seems like everyone is kind of jumping in on this Plexico Burress thing. Slow down. Slow down. We went through this last year. He ended up going to the Jets. At the end of the day, for most of these guys, it's going to come down to what kind of deals they can get. And, again, I don't think the Eagles have a ton of money under the cap. They can maneuver around. There are players, perhaps, who will restructure their deals or that they'll release. But there's not a lot of cap room right now. Shannon, Fort Lauderdale. Shannon, my man. Yellow. Shannon? We have a new guy running the board today. He's new. 215-339-6709. We interviewed Todd Bowles last week. Hope you enjoyed that. Doesn't say a whole lot. I think he's one of those guys just come in and play hard for him. I really want to see this defensive backfield become more physical, tackle better. Let's go out to Houston and talk to D'Angelo. Hey, D'Angelo.
What's going on, Dave?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. It's been a while since I've been able to call in. Been working a lot.
Yeah, well, hey, we got to pay the bills.
Yeah, man, I was calling. First, I want to thank you for the Macklin jersey. I got it. It's perfect,
good.
Man. I got it framed up on my wall. Everything's
nice.
Perfect with it.
Good. Thank you for being such a great fan.
Thanks, man. I wanted to call, and I hadn't had a chance to call speak on the one situation. And I'm extremely happy. I was one of the only people calling us pro one, so I'm happy with keeping them.
Good.
Very happy about the DeSean Jackson news, his franchise tag. I'm extremely happy. I'm glad we're keeping all of our main pieces in place to make our run, you know. I hope it pleases the fans, you know, because a lot of people – I realize this, you know. Look at the Giants. What was that? Week 7? Fire everybody. Fire Coughlin. Fire this person. Eli's not elite. He's another. And it's all about the playoffs is a tournament. We talk about this. The playoffs is a tournament. Once you get there, everything can happen. We just got to get there.
Well, again, to me, look, I mean, we all watch this, right? And we watch this team come out of the gates, and it just seems too many years they struggle. It's a 1-2 start, a 3-3 going into the bye week. You can't rely every single season on getting hot going down the stretch. So whatever Andy Reid does in training camp, and I personally believe that it's going to be a physical training camp, they have to be ready. They have to be ready week 1 to come out and win football games and build themselves some cushion.
Well, at least the thing that pleases me is that we're giving Andy Reid a chance to do it. We're giving Juan Castillo a chance to do it. You can't go off this 1 year without training camp and say, you know, it's time to fire everybody. Let's tear it down and build it back up. Then we'll rebuild it for 3 or 4 years. Let's keep the pieces we have, give it a year, and then go from there. I really feel like next year's our year. I feel like we kept all the main pieces.
I think this team has a chance to be excellent. Again, lots of things that they really have to hit on here in the offseason, including how do you handle all those cornerbacks? How do you handle DeSean Jackson? What are you doing filling in the defense, linebacker position, Jamar Chaney, who'll be in studio here with Bo Wolf in just a moment. You know, is he your middle linebacker? Who's your weak side and strong side linebacker? Who are your safeties? Can you count on Nate Allen to go to that next level?
Yeah, and that's another one I want to ask you about. I know our main need is going to be linebacker and safety, but do you think, just you personally, do you feel like we should load up on linebacker in the draft, or should we try to go out there and get the Wiley veteran? Should we try to go out there and just test the waters and see who we can get? Because I'm worried about a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys in draft don't pan out, David. You don't.
Well, they don't pan out in free agency either.
I totally agree. But the draft scares me more than anything because I'm looking at some of the guys. I'm looking at the guy from Boston College. Looking at the guy from Arizona State. They're light, man. These are 215, 220 guys.
I think Kuechly is 235, 240. Perfect is probably around 245. Maybe even it depends on how they, you know, they might even be a little bit more than that. It just, you see what kind of shape he's in as they get into shape for the combine.
I watched a little bit of film on them. Both of them, if they're 235, I wonder where it's at.
It's in their heinies.
It must be, because I'll tell you what, that's a small 35. I've been a linebacker a long time.
Yeah, this kid looks really skinny, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Look at those arms. Yeah.
We'll see. But, yeah, man, that's basically all I have, man. I'm trying to get a little bit more free time to call in. But like I said, I'm happy, man. I'm very happy. This is the best news I've had.
And okay.
Since the 8-8 start, I mean, since the 8-8 season, it's probably the best news I've had, keeping Juan and keeping Andy and keeping Deshaun. So, overall, I'm happy, and I hope the fans are happy.
I am hopeful that this thing is moving in the right direction. But, again, and thanks for the call. Lots of decisions to be made, including the middle linebacker position. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, I'm going to call Bo Wolf in here, get Jamar Chaney ready to go. We'll talk about Jamar Chaney. Is he the middle linebacker moving forward? How's his health? Critical questions ahead with Eagles linebacker Jamar Chaney here in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Say that I like things fast, not because my supercar shoots the flames, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
It's time for the annual shareholders meeting. There will be the usual presentations on research and development. Some new members of the team will be introduced. The Chairman Emeritus will distribute his usual wisdom. And you? Well, you're the chief life officer. You just need the right professional to help you take charge.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars. Smart homes. Smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Dear Amorosos, help! I'm the youngest of 16 children who grew up in Philadelphia but now live in California. Hi, Mom! I especially remember our family dinners and how much we all loved Amorosos bread. When I decided to become a tour guide at Clopagos Winery, I knew it was the right move. I love my job and I love living in this beautiful place, but I don't love the bread.
I miss Amorosos.
After all, what's great wine without great bread? Please, send me an Amoroso's relief package.
And
And welcome into the Xfinity studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Very pleased to be joined by Eagles linebacker Jamar Chaney. And Jamar, an interesting offseason beginning for you. The neck surgery, tell us a little bit about that and what it means for the next few months for you.
I had to have the neck surgery. I didn't have to have it, you know. It was just something I wanted to do, you know, prevent it from happening again. So, you know, they fused, you know, my neck. And that's just going along. It's coming along pretty good now. Man, by the end of this month, mid next month, you know, I should be, you know, back to myself 100%. I mean, I feel pretty good now, you know, working out, squat and bench pressing. I mean, doing the normal stuff I would during the off season.
So, what kind of rehab is it that you're doing on the neck then?
I mean,
or just letting it heal.
Yeah, just letting it heal. Really, I mean, I do, you know, neck exercise, you know, ice and stem, but you know, really just letting it heal.
Was it a long surgery? They put you under?
Yeah, they put me under. I mean, I don't know how long it was because I was knocked out, but I think they told me it was like 2 hours.
And it was a bit of a weird injury because it happened in the last game of the season. And, yeah. And there, you know, after the game, Coach Reed thought it was a concussion. So it must have been a little bit interesting or difficult finding out what exactly the injury was, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a concussion, you know, from the get-go because I had one in college. And, you know, I don't remember none of that, what happened, you know, after that play. But I knew it wasn't a concussion, but I knew something, you know, wasn't right. It wasn't feeling right. So, you know, I think I made the right decision to go ahead and have the surgery because, you know, we have all this off time right now. And just as long as I was going to be able to go, you know, April 16th when we, you know, come back for, you know, workouts and right before, you know, we go mini camps, OTA, stuff like that, you know, I wanted to participate in all that. So they told me the time period would be, you know, mid-March, you know, when I should be 100%. So I went ahead and did it.
Well, and it's interesting for you guys, your crop of your class, the guys who are going to be entering their third year. This will be your first offseason because last year was the lockout. This will be your first offseason being able to work in the system. How much of a difference do you think that will make?
That can make a lot of difference. I mean, especially, you see, you know, we keeping one, you know, and most of the coaches coming back. So, you know, staying with the same system and being able, you know, to interact with your D coordinator, your linebacker coach throughout the offseason leading to training camp. I mean, that's real big.
Let's talk a little bit about that because you mentioned the Eagles obviously bringing back Juan Castillo as a defensive coordinator. Some thoughts elsewhere that maybe that wasn't going to be the case. What was your reaction to that, or were you not surprised at all?
I think as players, we weren't really, I wouldn't say we weren't worried about it, but it was nothing like we was thinking. Well, we pretty much was thought that Juan was going to be back, and, you know, we're happy he's back because, you know, we went through the change last year with a new defensive coordinator, you know, it takes time to get to learn the scheme and do all that, so I think it was a smart move. I mean, this organization, I don't think they're trying to build, you know, for the future. They're trying to win right now. We're trying to win right now. So the best thing was for Juan to come back, you know, to me, if we could have the same scheme, you know, we already know the scheme, and then having the whole offseason to polish up everything and to do new things, you know, with him and talk to him throughout the whole offseason, that's just going to put us, you know, I think ahead of the eight ball come training camp.
And we've been talking about that, just the continuity aspect, you know. You could argue that maybe you guys struggled a little bit in the beginning of the season, and part of that was because you were, as you said, installing this new scheme, having the full off season, and being able to sort of, you know, learn the defense in and out. How much of a difference would that make?
I think it make a lot, and it make a lot. You know, I mean, you know, you see linebackers switching positions. I mean, when you solidify one person in one certain position, you know, and then, you know, going through a whole off season, you can learn all the linebacker spots. So if you do have to make a change during the season, I mean, it's not, you know, okay, I got to go back and look over the whole defense and start back over from day one because that was the case last year. You know, when you have one position as a new defense, you have to learn your position first before you can learn everybody else's position. So, you know, I think that'll make it easier too. I mean, we all know our positions now, and going to the offseason, when you polish up what you do, I mean, you can learn all three linebacker positions. So both safeties can learn both safety positions, stuff like that.
Right, and for you, it was an interesting beginning of the season. You know, you expected to come in as the Mike. They started you off as the Sam, then they moved you around a little bit. Are you looking forward to having, I guess, more of a bit of a defined role?
I think so. I mean, I think all the players are. But, I mean, whatever, you know, Juan and Coach Reed and the rest of the coaches think we need to do, that's what we're going to do. Then we have a good group of linebackers, a good defense. I think the offseason help us out, us get to grow together, and I think it should be a good season, especially on defense.
What about this young crop of linebackers, you know, yourself, Brian Roll, Casey Matthews, even Moses Focus, you know, he's the old guy, but he's only in his fourth year, and Akeem Jordan, of course. How do you feel like you guys are set to move forward next year?
I think we look pretty good at the end of the season. I mean, one thing about us, I mean, we didn't probably start off the season you know, good as we wanted to. But every week we improved. It wasn't no week, you know, where we, I think we digressed, you know, after those, you know, first couple games, and we improved every week. And that's what you want to do, you know, especially with a young group. You want to improve each and every week. And for us to, you know, to go through the whole offseason, this upcoming offseason, you know, like I just said, you know, having Juan, you know, Coach Caldwell, you know, all the coaches here, you know, teaching us different things about the scheme and whatnot. I mean, it's going to do nothing but help us out. And you keep that, you know, that core group together. And, I mean, you get that bond with each other. I mean, all of us close, all of us talk to each other. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing.
Have you had some time to sort of decompress after the season? Did you get away at all?
Yeah, I got away. Went home to see my family. Took a couple trips, you know. I mean, but
anything exciting? Anything interesting?
I mean, no, went out to Vegas for a little bit. I mean, I'm from South Florida, so there's a lot of stuff to do down there as well. Great weather. So, I mean, yeah, I enjoyed myself. I mean, before April 16th, you know, I'm going to be on the weekends, you know, when I have off from rehab, you know, go home and see the family and stuff like that. But other than that, you know, just working out rehab and making sure I'm ready to go.
Now, of course, you can follow Jamar on Twitter at Jamar51Cheney. Do you have the most followers of all the linebackers?
I don't think so. I think I got the second. I think Casey got the first.
What's up with that?
I mean, hey, when you're the brother of Clay Matthews.
I guess that's it. Well, we'll have to work on that. Follow Jamar Cheney at Jamar51Cheney. Jamar, thanks so much for taking some time.
All right, thanks for having me.
And that does it for In the Studio here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
One of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
We live in a smart world. Smart cars, smart homes, smart phones. Now it's your turn to be smart. Visit Smart Health today and get smart insights, health updates, and health tips for you and your family.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
The Philadelphia Eagles invite you to experience Lincoln Financial Field like never before through an exclusive tour of one of the premier stadiums in the NFL. This unique backstage journey through the stadium will feature the Comcast press box, broadcast booth, club and suite levels, Eagles home interview room, locker room, and the field. Call 267-570-4510 or visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com for more information.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro with you, 215-339-6709. Let's get to the telephones. Shannon, your phone working
Dave,
now?
Happy New Year to you, man.
Hey,
how you doing?
Happy New Year to you, Shannon.
Dave,
forgot
I gotta break
New Year's.
It down like this,
Happy
man.
New Year. Yeah.
If you look at
are you following me on Twitter, by the way, first of all?
I gotta I gotta add you on there. I'll add you on there for sure. I'll add you on there, man. And the South Florida Nation. Listen, Dave, this is it, man. When you look at the championship teams, the teams that are very good, you know,
yes,
your New Orleans, Green Bay,
yes,
Chicago, all these other teams, AFC teams, you're not going to have, like, big playability usually on them. The teams that are successful are
New Orleans doesn't have big – you mean defensively? What are you talking about?
No, I mean, like, offensively, like, in the big games. Like, yeah, in the regular season, New Orleans, they were just throwing – you know, they were throwing crazy. But when you play teams like San Francisco, Green Bay, you're not going to be able to do that. You know what I mean? As much.
Well, in the playoff game, New Orleans scored whatever they scored, 35 points.
Yeah.
28 points,
whatever
it was. I
guess my point is this, Dave, right?
Talk to me.
Is that when you get to the big games, like DeSean Jackson is good. I like him, man, but I think he is expendable, Dave. And I don't know what the statistics are, but I bet you if you check this last year, how many touchdowns DeSean Jackson and Macklin had in the red zone? Like with this,
I agree with you. I am not. I'm. This is my what I'm preaching in the off season here. You want to keep DeSean? That's fine. I'm happy with that. I think he brings something to the offense. I like DeSean Jackson very much. But you also better improve the red zone. And if that means bringing in a tight end, if that means bringing in a running back who's a masher, if that means bring in a second one. If that means bringing in a big wide receiver because this team doesn't. I like Riley Cooper.
Well, you know what I feel about that, Dave. I say instead of paying DeSean $10 million, I say we can give Plexico $5 million and give like a Vincent Jackson $5 million and still have Avant and Macklin.
I am telling you that could happen.
It could happen, yeah, man. I mean, because I just think the teams that are successful, you look at New York, and I hate to keep using them, but Hakeem Nicks is he has big hands. He's a big body. Victor Cruz, I think he's like a big body.
No. Look that up. Victor Cruz size and height and size and Hakeem.
He's 6'2 or 6'3.
I'm looking it up. Hold on. But that's not big. I mean, DeSean's a little receiver, a little fat.
We agree.
Who's that, Victor Cruz? Victor Cruz is 6 feet tall, 205. What about Hakeem Nicks? Listen, there's a couple things. Eli's accuracy in the red zone is tremendous.
Yes.
Big plus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they get it done that way. I mean, Michael's got to be more accurate in the red zone.
It's a style of wide receiver.
Yeah,
they're not necessarily red zone receivers.
Hakeem Nicks is 6'1", 200 pounds, 210 pounds, yeah. Whatever. They're not big guys. But the point is this. A year before, by the way, DeSean Jackson, or rather Jeremy Macklin, I think he had 10 touchdowns, maybe 8 of them in the red zone. So I've always put a lot of it on the quarterback. I think if you've got to be accurate, but it helps a quarterback's accuracy if you have a large target. Now, it could be more of Celek. It could be a second tight end with using Clay Harbor. It could be going out and getting another wide receiver. It could be developing Riley Cooper. They need bigger targets in the red zone. One more bigger target.
$3 million right there, isn't it, Dave? We're definitely getting rid of Steve Smith, I would think.
Steve Smith is gone, yeah. No question.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's $3 million there. I mean, I think, you know, somebody like a Plex or a Vincent Jackson, man, I think would be good. That's just my opinion. Now, Dave, on defense, I agree with Baldy 100%. Cullen Jenkins, I love him. What's his name? Mike Pitts, I love him, Antonio Dixon. But I think we need another wide body guy to add on to that aggressiveness, along with like a maniac at linebacker who's big and who's good at tackling.
Fine. Who is that player? You guys want all these guys.
Patrick Willis is that player, Dave. You mean for the linebacker?
Yeah. Patrick Willis
is that guy. Mayo was that guy for the New England Patriots. Ray Lewis is the guy for the Ravens.
How are the Eagles getting one of these guys?
No, I'm not saying getting. I'm talking about like who's the dude? There's a young boy out of, I think he's out of, I don't follow it either that much, but I think it's out of North Carolina. He's like 6'4". He's like a heck of a tackler. He's very aggressive.
Zach Brown?
Is it him?
I think so. But Shannon, I don't know. And thanks for the call. Get to your telephones, you people. Yeah. You still there? No. Yeah.
Santi Samuels is expendable, and I think, of course, Abia Mary is expendable, and I think we do keep Evan Mathis, and I even think that what's his name?
225 though.
Say it again.
No, it's Zach Brown. 225. You guys are all screaming and yelling about these linebackers, and I agree with you. Get linebackers, but they're all 3-4 linebackers now, and they're 225, 235 pounds. Is that big enough?
We need to make teams think twice about running up the middle on us. You know what I mean? Just we need to put some bulk on the line, and I think some bulk at middle linebacker. That's what I'm saying. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Would love to agree with you. Agree with you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm with you. Hey, thanks for the call.
Yeah. All right, Dave.
All right, Sean. I mean, You know, give me a guy. Don't say Stephen Tulloch. Don't say, Luke Kuechly. Don't say Curtis Lofton. I mean, these are not, are these the answers? Would I like to have Ray Lewis here? Yeah, every team would. Ray Lewis is a once-in-a-lifetime player. Amazing that Ray Lewis was drafted the same year as Jermaine Mayberry. The longevity, his ability to stay at such a high level for so long, is as remarkable a story that I think the NFL has ever had at the middle linebacker position where you get beat up every play. Mike in New York joins us. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Dave. You're telling me you would take Ray Lewis?
Sure. Not right now. I think he's on the decline.
No. I just mean, yeah, of course, everybody would take
it. Yeah, I would take. Can you believe it? Now, hey, I got one for you, though, Mike. And I haven't heard it today, but how do you feel about Peyton Manning?
I wouldn't go. Look, I don't think you can trust that. They're talking about how he's got a noodle arm right now.
Right, because of the neck.
What'd you say?
Yeah, is that because of the neck? Yeah.
Look, I don't think we have a superstar quarterback or an elite quarterback, but I think we have a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, we had this conversation.
And you need, you need a guy just to get really hot. You need to make the playoffs, and then you need to get really hot, and you can win it.
Yeah, well, I'm with you.
I mean, that's a lot, but I think a lot of teams are capable of that.
Okay.
Well, so a few things. Look, I think the people thinking that Vincent Jackson is not going to sign for a boatload of money is crazy.
Yeah.
So unless you're prepared to spend $10 million a year for 3-4 years, I don't think you're going to get Vincent Jackson. I think, franchising Deshaun is smart. I think that some of the players you brought up were horrible ideas, like Lloyd, Brandon Lloyd. I don't know if you followed Brandon Lloyd at all.
Yeah, we were looking at the list provided by Adam Kaplan.
I'm sorry. Okay, so he is the absolute clubhouse nightmare. In Denver, they gave him away for free.
Yes, they did.
So awful.
Fourth or fifth round draft pick, right? Or as it turned out,
a sixth round.
I think it was upgraded because of incentives, but maybe you're right. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but he was he was complaining. He didn't get the ball up, and then you look at the stats he put up in St. Louis. Well, he was getting at least 70% of the targets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not what I want from a guy, coming here. I think he would be. I pray that Brandon Lloyd is nowhere near.
Yeah, but you can't argue that. Look, Dwayne. I mean, and again, who knows? Vincent Jackson, Dwayne Bowe, Reggie Wayne, Marcus Colston, Stevie Johnson.
He is the only one who catches passes in that. In that city.
He's also catching them from Matt Castle, so maybe there's an opportunity with a better offense, more weapons around him where you can't double-team him, that he could be a really explosive player.
Pretty good quarterback, though.
Who's that, Matt Castle?
Yeah. You don't think I think he's pretty good. He did so well. He did well in New England when you had a good offensive line, good coaching. He took a team the whole season in the playoffs, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. I also believe this, Mike. Free agency is such a difficult proposition because of the, look, let's be honest. I mean, guys don't work out in free agency.
I think it's, I think it's fascinating. Yeah, last year, the Eagles pay Steve Smith, who the Giants didn't even think he'd play for the first five games. They paid him, what, $4 million?
Yeah, whatever the number was, it was too much.
That was a $4 million contract.
Yep.
And if they don't sign him, think about this. If the Eagles don't sign Steve Smith, the Giants probably bring him back, cut Cruz.
Well, but see, I don't know if I agree with that. The Giants didn't think he was going to be healthy enough to play. And
look, this might have been lying, but I'm in New York, right after the Eagles signed Steve Smith, Tom Coughlin came out, the Giants ownership came out, and they said, they felt betrayed. They wanted to offer him a deal. They were so upset to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
I think they absolutely would have brought him back. And Cruz was the last guy to make the team.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how it works in this league.
Amazing how that works out. They never would have won the, and maybe Cruz doesn't you know, it's all about opportunity.
Mike, are you on board with DeSean Jackson returning in 12?
I'm on board with him. Absolutely, I want him returning. I don't think you're going to get anything. As you said, there's no trade value because there's so many wide receivers available.
Yeah.
And I think he's, you know, I love the idea that we picked him. We picked a great talent that, you know, everyone's whining about the draft. We had a draft, you know, diamond.
Yeah.
We found a diamond with DeSean Jackson. Yeah. I like to keep him. What do you think?
Everybody knows. Yeah, I'm on board with him coming. I will say that
I'm fine
if you franchise him,
I think he's a franchise player.
Yeah, I'm kind of focusing in on the numbers. Maybe I'm over obsessed about this salary cap thing, but 9.5 is a lot of cake for one player for 1 year when you don't have a lot. And if you've re-signed Mathis and you still want to go out and get.
That's exactly. I'm worried about re-signing Mathis because, look, the guy has not ever had a big payday. And if you look at the ratings, he was the best player in the NFL at his position. And I'm wondering if someone's just going to go nuts and give him a ton of money.
I think Evan wants to be here. I would hope that it works out.
He's going to go wherever he gets paid.
Understood.
I'm sure he wants to be there.
Understood.
I'm sure if everything was equal, he would stay here. But I'm more than positive he would go. You know, if someone's willing to pay more, he'd go there.
That's the way it usually works.
Yeah, but I would love him back. I really want Evan Mathis back. I think, as you've pointed out in a number of your shows, the offensive line just looks tremendous. And
looks pretty good.
I would love to keep that. I think it's tremendous.
Yeah.
I love Howard Mudd, and I would love to keep that line together.
I think they will.
Cornerback situation, I think everybody has gone a little nuts, or maybe not that. They haven't. Nobody has looked at the numbers from last year. So everyone's talking about Asante as the guy that would be a possible trade bait, or people the one cornerback the Eagles would trade. Asante would actually be the last guy I would trade. I would trade Asamoah, and I would trade Cromartie before I traded Asante Samuel. Here's why. Have you gone over the cornerback numbers from last year?
I don't look at the numbers as much as I look at the performance.
All right, well, let's look at the numbers.
Okay.
So there's the cornerback who was thrown second, who was thrown least to in the NFL was Darrell Revis. Second, Asante Samuel. Okay, and nobody thought that. Second, yards per catch against the cornerback. First was Revis. Second was Asante Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
This is 2011. He had like zero touchdowns against them.
Well, that's not true. I mean, he had one against
I don't know.
Then the numbers you're looking at are wrong because against the Bears he had it.
That didn't come from the numbers. They didn't report on touchdowns past two. But those two numbers, he's the least, you know, he doesn't get thrown at because teams are worried about him intercepting the ball. You know, they would teams absolutely chose to throw to Asamoah rather than throwing to Asante Samuel.
Yeah.
And
here's the question I have, though, and I'm an Asante Samuel fan, and I don't know what's going to happen there. Were the Eagles in zone a lot last year? Was it man-to-man straight up? Is it hard to calculate who they were actually, quote, throwing to?
Yeah, Asante did not play zone. He played man-to-man.
Okay.
It takes away the receiver. Everyone talked about Asamoah taking away the receiver. He didn't. I mean, he had an okay year. I wouldn't say it was any better than that. I mean, when you're paying a guy $10 million, I want him to dominate. I don't want him to have an okay up and down year.
Yeah, he was okay. He wasn't great.
Yeah.
But I think he's a stud.
And the whole thing about him coming in and learning a system is BS. Asante Samuel came in here and had a Pro Bowl season, first year, you know?
Yeah,
I don't like the excuse that he needs a year to work through stuff.
I don't think it was that as much. I think it was how he was used.
Yeah,
I mean, I will tell you that...
He played zone in Oakland.
Yeah, he absolutely played zone in Oakland.
So, what do you mean how he was used?
It always seemed, and it wasn't just him, but early in the year... There were a lot of blown. I think the one thing that Namdi didn't do as well as I hoped was tackle. And that was disappointing. But there were a lot of times in the early part of the year when the defensive backs were kind of looking around going, what's going on here? What's going on here?
Don't get me wrong. I want him back. I want to start Asamoah back. And I want to keep Cromartie. I think, you know, it's a very rare thing where you could have one of those guys go down and have an excellent guy come in. You know, excellent reserve.
I'll tell you.
Why not have that for a year? Before,
Dominique, and Michael, thanks for the call. Thank you so much. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie was such a team guy last year. That he never said a word about his role, and it had to be frustrating for him. And he comes in the last two games of the year, does a terrific job. Hey guys, great speaking to you today. Great show today. We are back next Tuesday, as the offices are closed, President's Day weekend. So we'll be back next Tuesday with Eagles Live. By then, we'll find out about DeSean Jackson, or perhaps we'll find out about DeSean Jackson. Teams can use their franchise tag starting 1 week from today on February 20th. So the free agency period, only a couple of weeks away after that. Three more weeks, guys, and we have something going on. All right? Three or four more weeks here. Hang in there. Thanks for joining us here today on Eagles Live. Follow me on Twitter at Dave Spadaro. And we are going to start rolling out daily content today. Make sure you keep your eyes open later today for Eagles Extras. Is it? And then it's already up. And then later in the week, our Ask Andy. We invite you, the fans, to ask Andy Reid questions. We did so at our Eagles at Eagles account on Twitter. Got a ton of responses, and Andy Reid sitting and answering the fan questions. We debut that.